Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Back to the Hardline, 5-9 the Fan, KFNS at 5-9thefan.com. We're here at Corey Hazew High School. By the way, Cam, open house Sunday, November 4th, 12 to 4. Don't forget it.
Don't forget. Come on. Check it out.
Visit CoreyHazew.org/CBS to register. Now, this is not one of those schools that you can just, you know, come in. You got to apply. So applications for 8th graders opens today, October 15th.
It's a stressful time, trust me.
You had to apply?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many times do you get rejected before you? I mean, you're pretty persistent.
You just do one application process.
So what happens when you're like, so you didn't say yes, so, you know, send in another application.
You got to be strategic with it.
So what do you do if you get rejected? Can you, like, go do some community service real quick and then throw it back on the resume and send it back in?
I
worked all summer to get back into this school.
Oh, no.
I got 400 hours
of community
service.
Which school are you talking about?
Which school? I don't know any school. I'm just saying. Well, how do you, like, if they say no, you're an idiot. How can you
honestly,
then become less of an
honestly,
idiot to get
they
into
told,
school?
They told me you have to fill out this application right
now.
And I didn't ask any secondary questions about the entire process from there on in. I filled out the application, hoped nothing went completely wrong, and then completely rolled on. Because, again, I had a sister who got in Corey Hazew without any issues. I had a brother who got into CBC without any issues, and
look,
then I was sitting here worrying.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is just how it works. Women are smarter than us. So that just because your sister's good at something says nothing about you.
Thanks for reaffirming that argument, my family.
Yep. So there you go.
What was I going to read here?
Also,
nothing bad.
Also, Kara, cut that. Kara, cut that audio and use it on him for the rest of your marriage.
So,
he just hit you with it. You're
hold
good.
On. Think about this for a second. I just was open about how women are smarter than us, and you think women are listening to us.
All right, Kara, I'm going to text you later and let you know that you can clip this audio off.
Hunchback of Von Castle says his wife went there in 06. Corey Hazew grad.
Hunchback, welcome.
I'm surprised she's slumming it with one of our listeners, but hey, good for him.
In 06?
She graduated from there in 06.
It's high school. Anyway.
That's when me and TJ graduated high school.
No, it's not.
Sorry. I'm a couple years off, my bad.
See, we talked about it. His sister is definitely smarter than him. Math is hard, though. I'm with you. 855-282-8255. We're not going to read the text out loud, but we can't even read half your names, to be honest with you. So we probably will just skip the text line today.
Alex Petrangelo sucks going on right now.
Harrison's brother texted in. Yeah, he says, hey, Cam, Alex Petrangelo sucks. So does Colton Pareko. I actually don't believe
Blues fans
either,
are just like
either
fans.
Of those states.
Drew Locke sucks. Barry Odom sucks. Everybody sucks.
I didn't want to point out. I thought it was funny that for somebody who's not liking any of the Barry Odom comments, your first question with the Blues was, what's Mike Yeo doing wrong? I did find that a little ironic.
Ooh, that's a great point.
I don't think
you,
that's
Matt
ironic
Rocky.
At all. We were talking about this today. This is interesting. If you guys were to grade Barry Odom, and I think you have to we need to get on the same page with the criteria. Meaning, I think you take into account talent when you're grading a coach in his first 3 years. I think you take into
of course you have to look at you look at talent differently with college and pro coaches though, because one of them has a direct hand in the talent on the roster. Another one usually doesn't.
Right. So I'm strictly talking Mizzou here. Take into account the talent that he's had. Take into account that he is a first-time head coach in the toughest conference in America. And he did a lot of coaches, like Gary Pinkel came from Toledo, right? A lot of coaches go to a smaller school. Matt Campbell came from Toledo. You have coaches and then get to their Power 5 school. Barry Odom went straight to a Power 5 school. And then take into account that I think he has improved every single year thus far. All 3 years, I think he has a better team than the year prior. What grade would you give Barry Odom right now, a letter grade, over his first 2.5 years?
I'd give him a C.
Cam?
I'd say a C+.
No. I gave him a B-, and that's taken into account all of that criteria, because you wouldn't typically say
is he getting better every year?
Four wins and seven wins is necessarily a B-, but I think
B-. I'd also argue having a recruiting season where you go 0-for in St. Louis almost stops me from being able to give him above a C+, period.
Well, it's not necessarily St. Louis. I mean, he did pull a 4-star out of Kansas City. Yeah. So it's the state of Missouri that matters more. But, yes. 7 of the 10 were here in St. Louis.
Yeah, so to lose –
But
to,
by
to,
the way, if
to,
you're going
to – not to, have a to have that bad of a year in recruiting, that's
– if you're
going
to penalize him for that, you have to take into account that he's got a bunch of St. Louis kids lined up and committed right this second.
He does.
So, now, they haven't signed, so none of them are guaranteed.
And that's what I'm saying is – and if he signs the ones he's got recruited just now and verbally committed, then I'll immediately bump him to a B- without thinking, because that's a class you can build on.
I think so.
Can I read a text from Hockey
Can you
Bob?
Read it first before you say it out
no,
loud?
No, I did.
Okay, so
We're good. TJ, how can you blame a coach when pretty much every player is not moving their feet consistently? It's a coach's response to be on the ice moving the is it the coach's supposed to be on the ice moving their feet with them? These players know what they're supposed to do. They are grown adults and professional athletes. They chose to play bad. Cannot blame the coach for that.
I like that line. I like how you said that.
They didn't choose to play bad. They might have. They just didn't move their feet. I guess they chose to not move their feet.
So,
which in essence, didn't make them play.
Here is where I draw the line on performance as it relates to coaching and as it relates to the players. If none of the players are getting open, and you can look and say schematically, this is stupid. You're putting guys in one-on-one positions. They're obviously not good enough. Whatever. That's on the coaches. But if a player gets hit in the hands, you can't catch the ball for the coach, right? Or the coach can't catch the ball for the player. You can't do that. Similarly with skating. Like, if you put them in great scoring chances all the time and they just can't put the puck in the net, I cannot put the puck in the net for you. But I sure as heck can make sure. Thank you. I sure as heck can make sure that you're moving your feet all the time. Because, though, like, you can drill that. And I get hockey's different to where it's like you're playing so many games.
Yeah.
Your practice time is few and far between compared to some of the other sports. And you practice a whole week in football to play a single game. It's obviously not that way in hockey. But moving your feet can be coached. And it should be, like, if you do drill after drill after drill after drill about something, like, you cannot gather the puck just standing there flat-footed ever. If that is known in practice, that's a coaching thing, right? That is something that you set up. There were certain things that we did in New England that we only did in New England that if you watched the Patriots and you watched everybody else, you would understand that this is a Patriots coaching thing. I'm sure you had that with Lou as well. Like, there are certain things in New Jersey that they just do. It's coached differently.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's coaching.
Of course.
To me, not moving your feet, that is coaching. You have not been coached to the point where there is this sense of urgency in your head all the time that you got to be moving.
I got actually a pretty decent text from the 314. Hey, Hardline, I graduated from Koryasu in 2015. Blues need better entries into the zone, more standing up defenders at the blue line. Great show today.
That was one of them, I think, over there talking to us. Thank you. There it was.
Was
there
it?
It was.
I'm not buying.
That was like a normal one.
I'm not buying. We have a listener.
We have a normal listener.
30. I'm not buying it.
She graduated in 2015.
There you go. We have the bell coming up. Dr. Holt joining us in 5 minutes here. So would you agree with that, Cam?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That if moving your feet seems like a coaching thing. By the way, that's even more of an indictment on the coaching because they are veterans.
I say that's a parent thing because your dad's going to tell you to move your feet when you first start playing.
Yeah.
And if you can't figure that one out, then you're really lost. But, no, a coaching – if you're going to blame Coach Yo, then it's something to do with the power play system. How about dressing seven defensemen and leaving that fourth line just pretty much hung out to dry with guys getting bounced around?
Yeah.
Things like that. Dressing the same players over and over. Playing Bomeister 25 minutes is a coaching decision.
Oh, my gosh.
That kind of stuff I blame Coach Yo for.
Yeah.
But you not moving your feet in the neutral zone, that's not on him. That is on you. That is on Petro to tell you to move your feet. Things
well,
like
he's not
that.
Moving his feet either.
No, he's not. But I'm looking at guys and some of the forwards aren't getting the pucks. Like, there's no urgency to get the loose pucks, and it's just unacceptable. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if somebody needs to get smacked around in the locker room. I don't know if somebody needs to throw a Gatorade bottle over. You know what I mean? Like,
So
are we at that point yet?
I'll give you an example. And when I was playing basketball in high school, our guys were great at boxing out, and they would never go to the ball. Right? It's like, so you'd box out, they'd miss a shot, and then you keep boxing out. And then the ball would just bounce over there, and it bounced over there, and nobody went to go get it. So eventually, the guy put a bubble up on top of the coach did. This is why I say this is coaching. You put a bubble on top of the rim, so you couldn't make the basket. And all we did for a week straight in practice,
rebound control,
box out, and then when the ball missed, because there's a bubble inside of it, you had to sprint to the ball. And guess what? We were really good at getting after the ball because of coaching. Right? There are drills and things. This is what, yes, ultimately, is it always the player's fault? I agree with that. But there has to be some weight on the coach for not implementing drills and things that get
God,
that. They're
drills in practice,
in their head.
Man. They're going.
Yeah, you've been at practice.
So they're like, I don't know what else Coach Yo could do. Hey, move your feet in this situation. No, you should already know that, man. You should already know that.
Yeah, you should.
So,
but look,
there's other things that Coach Yo could be blamed for. Nah, moving your feet's definitely not one of them. Now, coming out in the. Not having the urgency in the third period's one, coming out and getting scored on every single game first, is it maybe a coaching thing too? Not getting your guys pumped up before the game? Things like that, I mean, it all adds up, but gosh almighty, the onus goes on both. What's
so right up? Now they're talking over the loudspeaker, and I'll be honest with you, this brings back horrible memories because typically they were yelling my name where I had to go to attention.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They would list names at where I went to school at the end of the
don't,
day.
Don't let him fool
and
you.
My name.
Don't let him fool
my
you.
Name.
He's such a goody guy.
In the seventh grade, the seventh and eighth grade, my
get
name got called for detention every single day over the last period.
Why are you?
So I'm having flashbacks right now. I'm like,
why are you
sweating?
Lying? Why are you lying?
Why are you lying?
That's
man?
The truth. That is the truth.
You
seventh,
wanted to
grade.
Go to detention so you could do more work. Seriously, that was your mindset.
That's the truth.
Nothing wrong with that.
Me,
actually,
my
that's
buddy,
a great mindset to have, everybody.
Me, my buddy Cole, my buddy Michael. Like we had, they were like at the end of the day. And by the way, this was I. It wasn't,
TJ broke rules.
It wasn't
I'm
my
not,
favorite.
Caleb, I'm not buying a word of it.
I didn't break any rules. I just had bad teachers who blame me for
wow.
that.
No one's believing you.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Like one time, I jumped down three steps and got detention. That's the kind of stuff that I got
what
in trouble
you
for.
Go
sounds
to?
Like you're under-exaggerating that story.
Was that when
like
you're homeschooled?
I promise you
this.
I'm not. I have my aunt was there. This is how I have back emphasis. My aunt was there.
TJ,
was
everyone here has
you were homeschooled.
TJ.
No, that was in the third grade.
Everyone here has lied about why exactly they got detention.
My
we've all done it before, right?
My aunt was there and watched it happen. I have backup on this story, and I'm telling you.
I ran over the parking
right now, I'm breaking out in hives because of
you
this,
roll back the story a little bit and you lie a little bit. We've all done it before, and I understand that's what you're doing.
I'm not a liar.
You
I'm right
down
now
the
in the house of God. This
you
is a spiritual
down,
school.
You slid down the banister the entire stairwell.
That's not
you?
True. I jumped down three steps.
Yeah, you slid down the entire banister.
No, I didn't. I
can't believe you.
All right, so there you go.
He jumped off stairs and got detention. I ran over my parking attendant with my Mustang and got detention. All right, that's the difference. I should have went to jail. So let's... Well, what do you got there, dude? Oh, right on.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Right
we have a guest joining us now. It is it Dr. Holt?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
I'm Dr. Cam. Nice to meet you.
Well, we'll go with Dr. Holt now.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming here.
So, I'll be honest with you. Rock is our history buff here. Cam would like to be a history buff. And in another life, he would be
history.
A history buff. Cam does know history, especially for... not having gone through like full history.
My
school
favorite, my favorite class at CBC was AP American Studies. So,
Rock has a list of questions for you. The first one is he wants your take on the Iran deal.
Yes.
He also, I mean,
well, before we do any of that, we want to make sure that you guys have an insulated water bottle here so that you can rep us wherever
you
want.
Thank you.
You
cool. Look at this.
These are heavy duty. I
like
that.
I like this.
So thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
That is good. Okay, so we won't really talk about the Iran deal,
but
we are going to talk about the school here. You are a male teacher.
That is true.
What is that like here, actually?
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. And
we know that guys, we were just talking about this, like we all got detention 700 times. Girls are typically significantly better behaved.
It's worked well for 22 years. I'm not exactly sure why, but I just seem to be wired for this. So from the beginning, it's been a pleasure to work with them, to work with my colleagues. It's a fantastic place.
So what is, first of all, you've, as a doctor, you have a lot of degrees and such. What is the difference here? We've talked about this all day, but what is the difference here with all the stuff that you do that would be separating this place from others?
Well, I think the students have a combination that is difficult to replicate. They are competitive in a healthy way, you know, with each other, within themselves, with other schools, and yet they really love being here. You've seen the spirit. You've talked to some of the kids already. So to ask them to work hard and yet also to have them love it and to just sort of exude the spirit that they do, that's a great combination. And if the more that we can encourage that to continue, then
how'd you get into teaching?
Oh, wow. Well, I spent three semesters in business school way back in the 80s at Washington U and decided I didn't like that at all. And so decided to start studying something that I enjoyed. And this was a natural continuation of that.
Oh, cool. That's usually how it works.
So one thing I know is because my sister was part of the trip. You lead the close-up trip to Washington, D.C. every year.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about that trip. What's the purpose behind it? And how do you guys, what is the group of girls that go on that every year?
This is going to be the 19th time.
Wow.
I guess in the last 22 years that I've taken kids to D.C.
Wow.
And we don't really have an application process other than if you're able to fit it into your schedule and make it work. It's a great opportunity. They meet politicians. We see just about every museum and memorial and monument that's possible. Try to get into the White House.
Did Eleanor go?
I was going to say, did Eleanor?
No, Eleanor's got a lot going on. She can walk away. In case you haven't noticed, Eleanor's a pretty busy kid.
Yeah, she's walking. She's walking with an internship.
Now Matt's sister Amy did back in 2005 or so. But you know, there's that. I'm taking some kids or accompanying some kids to Jefferson City for a mock legislature in a few weeks, and that fits in with the same thing. We're trying to have the students learn actively as much as possible. Mm-hmm. We're hopefully moving away from old style models of just lecturing and assuming that learning is just us pumping stuff into their brains. And the more we can involve them, the better.
And I think this really interests us. You're the moderator for the Youth and Government Club.
Yeah.
Have you noticed over the – and how long have you been part of the Youth and Government Club here?
Oh, just a couple of years.
This
will just be the second year that we've done it.
Okay. So, but do you notice maybe from you when you were younger or maybe when you were here 10 years ago, a lot more political agency in the kids nowadays at this age, you know, 16, 17, 18, are they getting more involved than you've seen in the past?
I think so, and it's probably because of the way they consume social media. It's easy to pick up politics.
That's how do you deal with that, by the way?
Is that part of the reason why you guys started this club over the last couple of years?
No, well, the reason we started was just there were some kids who were really passionate about it. There are other St. Louis schools who will be there. It's a great opportunity not just to do that, but schools from outer Missouri. So I think there probably is a connection. It's easier to consume politics than it used to be. And we try to help them to do it responsibly. We'll get the phones out in class occasionally to see how the parties are handling themselves via social media.
So I remember
on social media, not too great either.
You guys, do you like mock trials and different things like that?
Yeah, we have an outstanding mock trial.
We used to get all the decisions wrong. I remember that. We would have a group of guys, and we're like, so what do you guys think? And we go, and they're like, all right, but that's just not how the decision
went. TJ once had a very embarrassing moment on the air, speaking of trials, where he wasn't exactly quite sure what the Dred Scott case was.
No, I knew what it was. I didn't know that was the building. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to go out on a limb here and tell you, I don't think they got the Dred Scott decision right.
Thank you for taking that lead, TJ.
So I knew what Dred Scott was. I did not realize that was the building that we were sitting right next to it. It turns out we were.
Well, follow that up to 1857 and understand a lot about why the Civil War came.
So, Rock is a Civil War buff. Rock is actually a history buff in general.
Which, I am.
He annoys us routinely when we tell him. He's like, but back in the 1800s.
Yeah. It annoyed the math department back in high school, but like I said, I like the American Studies program a lot.
What's your take on social media with the girls, though? Like, you know, you kind of need it at times. I mean, obviously, there's aspects of it that are ruthless. But
read my mentions.
Yeah, I know. But you need to, I mean, gosh almighty, like, you know, I got to host my own show, you know, tonight, 6 or 7, by the way. Don't say that again. It's not a program, it's a show. But I need my social media. I need to learn what's going on. So how do
I don't think there's any way to get away from it.
I know.
So hopefully we can help people to use it responsibly. Hopefully we can help people to discern between legitimate and
fake news
posts. Done a couple mini lessons on that, on how to identify bots on Twitter as opposed to
they're usually really good looking and they
Cam lost 800 followers a couple weeks ago because he had so many bots for real.
I did I got them back and I lost them again. I like the bots.
We talked Cam about the dangers of Nigerian princes in the email, and then immediately we completely forgot about the Twitter thing. It just came in and blindsided us.
I think we just have to accept that it's reality and try to help them to deal with it responsibly.
Social media, it is tough. I mean, it actually, okay, look.
It is.
For me especially, I mean, I do my podcast on social media, so it can be a great tool. But, like, if I were just to recommend, if you weren't going into a place where you were going into media or something like that, my suggestion would be to stay off social media. I mean, really, or don't follow crazy people all over. Like, my Facebook, I said yes to everybody in college. So I have 5,000 friends. I have no idea who they are. And the most random, stupid political things come up all day long on my news feed. And they're all dead wrong. I mean, like, you watch the political cycle of 2016. You could not read something and say, this is probably accurate. There's just no way.
That's part of the problem. There are some good things about social media and politics, and yet it also enables people to be real selective in their perception. Yeah. There are a lot of people just looking out for things that reinforce what they believe. And that's one thing we try to make sure that the girls don't do going forward, that they go out and seek different viewpoints and process them.
Yeah.
And I like that you guys are having that conversation instead of sheltering from them. That's the important part. You can't let them get out there at 18 when they're voting, just being completely blind to it entirely. And that, I think that's kind of the the part about social media is that for a while there was a part where it was just, okay, just keep them away from it, we'll be fine. And but you kind of, if you don't accept it now, there's going to be a point where they're going to get involved, and then if they're not prepared for it and they're not, like you said, you're not teaching them about the way to discern fake news and real news and those things like that, then you're sending them out there kind of unprepared.
Great point from the history buff.
Well, he is. Well, one thing to say, say if there's people listening and they're kind of, their daughters are kind of on the you know, on the verge of, you know, coming here, maybe going somewhere else. What would you say to those guys all listening right now that need to make that decision?
Get them in the building.
Yeah. Get them in.
The only way to really understand that combination I talked about, how they work hard, but they still love being here, whether it's shadowing, you can do that until November 9th. Our open house, you guys have already talked about.
Yeah, November 4th.
Just get in the building. Shadow and come down to the cafeteria and watch them do some cheers on a first Friday. That's the sort of thing that really will help them to understand. So if you're wondering at all, send them to us.
Last question. This one is, it's not quite as important as the rest that we've asked, but still very important. Are you more of a Tim Lemming or a Doug Lemming?
Or a mixture of the two?
I'd have to go with Tim.
Oh, of course.
Really?
All right. Do me a favor, Solomon. Locate the gong back there. Give it a big hit here.
And don't tell Tim.
We can close out the show.
I'm comfortable with defending myself going forward.
That is good stuff.
Well, we're both, so we like them all.
That's right.
We like them all on that show.
Everybody's great.
Everybody's great.
That's right. Cool. Dr. Holt, thank you so much.
Thank you for coming here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. So, well, good stuff. We have to go. You know, we have another show after us. It is called Frank Opinion Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
I call him Hank Opinion.
Okay, because he calls you what?
It's okay, Cal.
He calls me Cal for some reason.
Colleen, thank you. Thank you to everyone.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Corey Hazu, come check it out. Open house Sunday, November 4th, 12 to 4. Register for that open house, CoreyHazu.org/CBS. Cam, it's good to see you, dude.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Don't miss Cam Dance Program. Coming up next, Frank Opinion Large Morning Show.
I was going to call you something, but apparently
we still got a minute plus. As Rock is giving me the wrap it up.
The bell sounded, and then everybody's leaving school right now. It's a little intimidating. I got a little intimidated there for a bit. They're making fun of my scarf again, I think.
That's a nice scarf.
I thought it was, and it matched my shirt and everything.
Cam, is it going to get ugly tonight from 6 to 7 p.m.?
I'm going to lay it into the boys.
Who's on the agenda?
To peer pressure just because you're back here in high school.
I know it is. It is bringing back.
Cam never stops. It wasn't like he grew out of it. He just.
Cam, peer pressure, get out of here.
This is all that.
Double dog, Jeremy.
It's not like when he was 20 years old, peer pressure got him to fight an off-duty cop or anything. Like, peer pressure in high school, get out of here.
We don't need to go down that road again. They set me up to fight him.
The truth. You want to peer pressure, Cam? This is all it takes. Come on, Cam. All right.
Come on, what?
In other words, don't be like Cam. That's our final note for the day. Do not be like Cam in that way.
I can get away with it. Kind of.
Good stuff.
We got some talking. We're going to break down some things on the 6 to 7 show tonight. And a lot to talk about. A lot of negative. A little bit of positive going with it, too. Dressing 7D.
Give me a positive. Give me one positive.
Jordan Kyrou.
Okay.
Okay. Vladimir Tarasenko's a positive.
Yep.
I don't mind the goaltending like everybody else does.
Jordan
Schmaltz is a positive. He's finding his game, like how he's getting open, things like that. I don't know if you're a big hockey fan, if you've been watching the Blues as of late.
I'm a moderate hockey fan.
Cool. Now that I'm starting to talk. Thanks, Sully. Thank you. Anyway, we do got to go, but I appreciate you coming on. We'll talk hockey later.
Thanks.
We'll come back here.
Dr. Holt, thank you.
Yeah.
Once again, Corey Hazu, do not miss it. Open house Sunday, November 4th. Cam Jansen Show, 6-7 tonight.
Baby.
Do not miss that program. See ya.